Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop. Acknowledge me.
Episode 388 of Top Rope Nation here on a Sunday morning, Independence Day weekend holiday here in the United States. Justin Joint and Ryan Drosty. No Jesse Velasquez this morning. He is enjoying some much needed R&R, but Jesse will be back next week. Justin, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. You know, we're in the throes of summer where it's just an absolute headache scheduling anything on a weekend, finding time. I was trying to figure out a weekend to hang out with a buddy out of town. It was just like, all right, this weekend works for me. And then he would be like, oh, nope, I'm out of town that one. And it was just going back and forth. I mean, it is crazy times. It's fun, though. It's an absolute blast.
Yeah. Might you be hanging out with any buddies soon?
I sure hope so. Maybe. Is there anything going on next weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do. We do have an all-in party scheduled, I believe, amongst some of our friends. But also, I'm supposed to be seeing you tonight, sir. Did you forget?
Oh, that's right. I did forget.
That's what I was referring to, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, I was hoping that we'll be doing something for All In. But yeah, I will see you tonight.
Yes. Yes, that is the plan, though. We'll hang out with some people for All In also. And yeah, and we'll be getting Jesse back next week. We'll review All In. I am not sure when we will do that. Might be Saturday night, might be Sunday morning. At some point in the weekend, make sure you're subscribed to the channel while you're here. So you get that notification, turn the bell notification on as well. And then, of course, our podcast listeners, we love all of you too. Justin, you know, when we do these morning shows or even early afternoon, we love to have a little something in the glass. Do you have any coffee this morning?
Well, my youngest had me up pretty early today. So I'm a little bit of a struggle bus this morning. Coffee's long gone. I got some gut health gimmick soda or something. It tastes like flat pop. It's not very good, but supposedly it's good for you.
I've got some, it's a K-cup, Starbucks K-cup here in my nifty TCB mug that I thought you might appreciate.
Ooh,
I got
very nice.
Yes. Yes, indeed. But yeah, ready to talk a lot of pro wrestling with all of you. So hit us up in the chat, you guys, as we go. We'd love to get all of you involved. I did try something. We tried this a couple of months ago. We'll see how it goes. If you're with us on YouTube right now, I do have a super chat goal. If we get 5 super chats, I will give away 2 free months or a free month to 2 of you for our Patreon. So if you want a free month of our Patreon, look, if we have 5 super chats, you got a 40% chance to win. So, you know, if you want to check it out for free, send us a super chat today. And at the end of the show, I will do a drawing for a free month. If you're already a patron, if you win, you know, I'll refund your monthly bill so that you get it for free as well. And that's how that will work. But as you see the names of all of our Patreon supporters going across the bottom of the screen, we appreciate each and every one of you. And we've had a lot of content dropping. I wanted to mention that, you know, even though there hasn't been a flagship here for the last 2 weeks, Justin, we took last week off. There has been a lot of audio dropping for our Patreon supporters. So again, Patreon is the way to hear from us more often. I'm just going to read through some of the shows that we have done, you know, since the last flagship. So Jesse has done 2 Unplugged since the last flagship on June 22nd. And I have done 2 TRN Extra shows since the last flagship. So there's actually been 4 full podcasts that have dropped since the last flagship. So if you're here on our main feed on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever, and you want some of that content, Patreon is the way. The link is in the broadcast description. And also, you can become a TRN Plus member, which gets you some of our bonus shows, but every edition of Top Rope Nation Classics, the video versions. That's $2.99 a month. You just click become a member right here on the YouTube page, and you get access to the video version only. It's stripped down. You don't get the podcast version, but you still get the video version. It's a cheaper way to go to get some of that bonus content. We appreciate that support as well. And Justin, we're going to be doing the next TRN Classics here, I think some point this week, Beach Blast 92.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I started watching that yesterday. Hopefully, maybe finish it today. We'll see.
I think Tuesday night is the plan for that. So we'll see what happens. And of course, we always go live for the Patreon supporters. So if you want to join TRN Classics live, you can check us out on Tuesday night. Justin, I think we'll start AEW. We are going to hit WWE as well. You know, so if you're with us here and you want to hear WWE talk, stay tuned. Or if you're watching on demand, you can fast forward if you don't like AEW, whatever. But we are going to cover both companies. And certainly, Justin, I think we are more excited about AEW right now. I think we try to remain objective in our evaluation of pro wrestling. But I just think creatively, it's not even up for debate. I think AEW is putting on much better shows right now. To me, at least, I am really excited for All In. I mean, what's your excitement level for next weekend?
Especially after this past Dynamite, which was just an absolutely fantastic show. It's high. And a big part of that is because, as you know, our former co-host Kyle would like to say, it's like, I'm nervous for the babyface. I really need Hangman to win this match. So I'm invested. I'm excited. The build has been slow, you know, top to bottom from the card. But it really felt like it erupted on Wednesday, and it is going full tilt. They're hitting on all cylinders right now. Even like Collision feels, you know, borderline must watch right now. So yeah, I'm pumped, man. How about you?
Very excited. I wish I was going to Texas.
Yeah,
I wish it was more possible. If there would have been a cheap flight from Iowa, I would have considered it. But for some reason, all the flights next weekend are jacked up like twice as much as they usually are. And they have been for months. I've been watching. And it's a really long drive in the car, you know, so it's tough to pull the trigger on that. If it was anywhere in the Midwest, I would for sure be going to it. But yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. We've talked about this on the show for so long. I've been on this train since last fall that Hangman Page should be the one to end the reign of Jon Moxley. And if he doesn't do it, I would be stunned. You know, just because it's such a big show, they have to main event with that match. We've talked about this. It's going to be the main event. I just can't imagine Moxley retaining at a stadium show. You?
It's, to me, it sends, okay, well, first off, for anybody, who isn't aware, the reason why we think Hangman might not win is because there is still more story with Moxley and Darby. You know, Darby just, you know, ascended Mount Everest and unfurled an AEW flag at the highest point on earth. I mean, that's incredible. And Darby deserves a big spotlight. He deserves a big match with Moxley, but it just, to me, it doesn't need a title. You know, that's more of a personal feud. And really, his mountain to overcome is just beating Moxley on a big stage. And I think you risk, if you have Hangman lose on All In with, you know, the biggest crowd ever in North America on their biggest show, I think you really risk hurting some, maybe not hurting some fans, but having some fans tune out afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, like what's going to make somebody want to watch Dynamite after All In? And I think that's to see Hangman's, you know, coronation as the world champ. And you just really risk telling fans to not come to your next big show because there's a chance they might get disappointed with the result.
Yeah, John agreeing with you in the chat. I agree 100%. You can't you can't get cute with this and think the title reign like has some more steam in it and there could be more twists and turns. Now you have to pull the trigger. And I think Tony Khan will. Just given the venue, look, they're going to have probably 25,000 there. It's going to be between 25 and 30, I think. The last ticket update was close to 21,000. And they always close really strong. They usually move a couple thousand tickets the last few days of the week before the show. They're going to have free tickets there that aren't being counted by WrestleTix right now. So they're going to have north of 25,000 people in this big baseball stadium. It'll go over like it'll be a thud if John Moxley wins. They can't possibly do that. Now, if they don't main event with that match, then I would be worried.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine they don't main event. So I do think it needs to happen. You know, they added obviously the Texas death match stipulation to the point of your t-shirt you're wearing this morning to the match, which should make it really, really fun to watch. But yeah, I think in the end, Hangman wins and we move into this new era of AEW. Here's a question I wanted to ask you. I've seen some people on social media saying, because I do think a lot of the hardcore fans have really been getting on board with AEW of late. I've seen way more positivity about their booking than in a very long time from all corners of the internet. And one of the takes I've seen out there a lot is that the Death Riders storyline deserves the bulk of the credit for that. What do you think about that?
No, I completely disagree with that. Although I will say, again, just like with AEW's storytelling right now, the Death Riders are hitting right now. But that thing, that was felt like it was on fumes for months. You know, at the end of 24 and the early part of 25, you think back to the feud with Edge. It wasn't good. But now that we're hopefully reaching the end point of the Death Rider story with the world championship, it does feel like they're finally hitting their stride, that Moxley has kind of really figured this character out. And, you know, you got to give him some kudos that it has worked to the degree that the fans desperately want Hangman to end, you know, this group to get the title back. And I don't think that's all in a negative way, just because everybody hates the Death Riders and doesn't like the story. I do feel it's finally hitting right now, and it, you can give it some credit, but to give it all the credit, that's ridiculous when it's really, you know, Ospreay and Swerve have been doing incredible work for a long time. Hangman, his ascension, that's the thing. That's what I think is really getting people to buy into everything. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree with you too. I saw that take and I fiercely disagreed. I think I agree with you, and we've said this on the show, that the Death Rider stuff has been better the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, we said it for months on the show that was like the one thing on the show that wasn't hitting, and everything else was. And I think a lot of the names you mentioned, Swerve, Ospreay, Hangman, like getting his mojo back here over the last year or so for sure. Timeless Tony Storm, I think, has been a draw as well. Like the best female wrestler in the world. Mercedes, yep, absolutely living up to her reputation. I think there's been a lot of things happening. I think it's been a collective effort. I would not put the Death Riders at the forefront of it. Now, I do think it is an advantage because like people want to see it happen so bad that the title will change hands. And finally, this big, beautiful belt, AEW replica behind me, that big, beautiful belt will get out of that briefcase and we can start showing it off again. I think it's been a collective effort, though. I think everything I've heard is that backstage in AEW, you know, they are this is one of the highest periods in company history as far as morale goes.
Hmm.
People are really, really having a good time there. Let's see. Catching up in the chat here. This is always hard to do live. Yeah, I agree with Tim's point here. I've always felt this, and I know Justin, you're a big Darby fan. To the points of, and I am too. Like I like him. I just don't see him as a guy to be world champion. Definitely not right now, as they're trying to kind of get to this next level with the company. I think you have to go to somebody who's been around. He's been gone. He's not going to come back with a ton of momentum. He'll get the pop, you know, when he returns. But stuff with Hangman and even Swerve and Ospreay, like that's been building for months and months and months. You can't really put him in the world title picture right now. And so to Tim's point, I agree with what you said earlier, that it doesn't, him feuding with Moxley That doesn't need to be for the title. And, you know, maybe they do Moxley and Darby and eventually bring back Brian, you know, with that storyline to finally have the Brian Moxley match that they've, you know, set up last fall. So, you know, they could do that as well.
I don't hate the idea of Darby being AEW world champion at some point, but I agree with you. Now is not the time. You know, Hangman is so obviously, you know, all caps the guy that you got to go with him. You know, there's a reason why the company's hot right now, and it's Hangman, not Darby. Darby's been gone since what, December, something like that, you know? So it's like, you know, maybe there's a moment down the road, but there's also like a bunch of guys waiting in the wings for maybe a first or second world title reign, you know, Swerve, Ospreay, MJF, you know, the guys are there. So it would just be really weird to me to put it on Darby right now or anytime soon for that matter. Now there's another match on this All In card that could affect, you know, what the main event scene, or at least the world title picture looks like for the coming year, which that could make things interesting or awkward, but that's TBD.
Yeah, let's go right into that. So they added that stipulation on Dynamite this week with the Young Bucks taking on Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. And now, you know, before we knew, it was the Bucks putting the EVP titles on the line. And what they get out of that now is the stipulation is Ospreay or Strickland cannot challenge for the world title for one full year if they lose the match. And I know, Justin, you got nervous right away. And I got a little nervous because I thought, all right, a year from now, yeah, they have All In returning to the UK. Mm-hmm. Ospreay can finally challenge for the title. He headlines the show. I could see that, but man, I just would not. I think that they would really be hamstringing themselves to take two of their top guys totally out of the world title picture. It would screw over Hangman's potential reign to not be able to do the match with Swerve, which is something we all want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine them going down that route. Can you?
I can, just because of the Will Ospreay aspect of it. And like you already said, you know, All In going back to London next year, that could make for a pretty huge moment, you know, something to really lock in the fans for that show. But it does hamstring the world title picture for another year. Now, this is professional wrestling, so it's not like, you know, 5 months from now they could get out of that stipulation somehow. You know, maybe there's a scenario where Swerve turns on Ospreay and kind of aligns himself with the Bucks so that he can get back in that world title picture, takes the title from Hangman, you know, maybe early next year, and then you build to All In Swerve versus Ospreay. You know, they've already given us two absolute classics in AEW. So we know they have the chemistry to pull off a big match on a big stage. So there are scenarios. There's scenarios where you can work around it. And I don't think the Bucks as EVPs, it got a little obnoxious for a while, the way they were, you know, utilizing this quote unquote power. But I kind of would like to see them keep it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's another fun one, though. I could definitely see it going either way.
Yeah, I mean, it immediately made me think of, you know, Cody's run in AEW, how they did that stipulation where Cody couldn't challenge for the world title. And I thought that was a huge mistake. I mean, you could go in our archives. We said it at the time, because for much of the early history of AEW, it was clear that Cody should be in the world title picture. He was one of the guys that built the company. Initially, he was one of the most over guys in the company. And to take him out of the world title scene like that was nonsense. I never thought that was a good idea. I think it definitely hampered his AEW run a little bit. You know, he did stuff with the TNT title, but he should have been at the top of the card. And so to do that to two of these guys right now, as the company is starting to feel like it's ascending again, and it's starting to feel like it has real momentum. You know, we're honest on this show. At times when AEW has been down, we say it. We've said when their TV was not as good as it had been at other times. It has been very good for the last several months. And now it, you know, there's a delay factor here. It takes a while before you see the benefits of a company turning things around as it relates to like live attendance, you know, sometimes pay-per-view numbers. Because you think back to like the WWF when they rose and ascended into 1998. We've talked about on the show before that really started kind of in the summer of 97 when they started having much better storylines. Mm-hmm. The TV was much more appetizing. And then ultimately they got to the point where they overtook WCW. I think with AEW, yeah, I feel like it's working with what they're doing with television, running these smaller venues that feel livelier because they're full, but then running the pay-per-views in the big arenas. And now they're starting to move more tickets. I mean, if you follow the ticket sales, they have been much better of late. And the TV viewership has started to tick up a little bit. Like, people are catching on. Those of us that have been watching every week, we've been feeling this for a while, but I feel like it's starting to come to the wider audience now. And they feel like they're starting to recapture some of that momentum that they had in like 2021. And this kind of gets into the question that I put on the thumbnail of the show here on YouTube, Justin. And that was, you know, can Hangman Page be the guy that takes them to the next level? Is he the guy that, you know, if you think this company is starting to ascend again, is he the right choice for world champion? And can he be that guy, Justin, that takes him to the next level?
Yes, absolutely. Now, like, I don't know what his merchandise sales look like. I assume he's a mover, but, you know, they have all the data, and I don't think they would be pushing him as the main event of their biggest show of the year if he wasn't moving numbers, if he wasn't moving merch, if people weren't tuning in for, you know, his segments on television. I everything to me says this is the character, this is the guy, this is the time, which, you know, again, not to take anything away from Darby, but he's not Hangman. He's just not on that level right now. And it's weird. The only reason why I could think of that they wouldn't go with Hangman right now is because there, it just feels like there's a little bit of a dearth for heel challengers going forward. Now, you could just keep maybe run back the Moxley feud for a little bit after this. You know, there's Okada, Takeshita, MJF, but, you know, I don't see where they're going to go moving forward after if Hangman wins. But I think that's an easy problem to solve, you know? So, yeah. How do you feel about Hangman right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that issue. I don't see the logical feud outside of Swerve, you know, but I think that they can elevate someone pretty quickly. I think, you know, the counter argument is just that, oh, well, we'll just continue people chasing Moxley, but they've done that for months now. So yeah. I don't think there's any more positives to that. I think that they have a deep bench of people, and they can pretty much take a heel and go full steam ahead with them and elevate that person. I mean, they've got Forbidden Door coming up, you know, so they can just do an interpromotional match there, which gives them mm-hmm. even more time to build up a credible challenger by the time you get to All Out in Toronto. So I think that's an easy problem to fix, you know, like you said. I'm not too concerned about that. I do think with Hangman Page, the biggest thing he has going for him is that he's clearly extremely authentic. And when you think of the people in wrestling history that get that buy-in, you know, they're either like just an over the top look and personality. You know, you could think of somebody like a Hogan in that regard, obviously, or they're super authentic and people buy everything that they're selling. That used to be CM Punk, you know, like that's how, when he really got over in 2011, it was because he seemed like the authentic guy that shined through the TV screen mm-hmm. to you. And that's definitely Hangman Page right now. He has that believability factor. The character work is the best in the company. I've been pounding this drum for months and months and months. And so the merchandise point, I just pulled up their top sellers on Shop AEW right now. He's always in the top five. Right, right now it's MJF, Swerve, Tony Storm, Hangman, Ospreay. So he's in that top five pretty much every time I look. So he's moving a lot of merch. I think he has the coolest merchandise on average.
Oh yeah.
Like anytime he releases something new, it's like, yeah, I'd wear that in public. Like, yeah, he has really good merchandise. So I think he's moving merch. I think there's the buy-in from the hardcore audience, but if you're just tuning into AEW, you never watched him before, and you see him come out that tunnel, the presentation, dude, the entrance that he has, we've talked about this, the way the camera swoops over that tunnel, it's got a good theme, all that mm-hmm. stuff matters in pro wrestling. And then the look on his face when he walks out, like it's all there. I think it's contagious to anybody watching that this is a guy to to believe in. So I think he could take him to the next level. Absolutely. I mean, he was champion the last time this company had real momentum in 21 into 22.
Yeah.
And obviously we had all the new faces there too. And some of that took away from his title reign. Like maybe he didn't get the spot like he deserved, but he was still doing awesome stuff. He was headlining shows with those big matches against Brian. You know, they did the two big matches on Dynamite at the end of 21 into early 22. So he's been the guy before. And I see no reason. I mean, honestly, people know John Moxley, but he feels stale at this point. He had the one break, but he's mostly been around.
And it does feel like, totally to your point, there feels like there's one more level that Hangman could go as the face of the franchise, you know? And we didn't say it, but like, what the hell would him losing at All In do to him? I mean, that would just completely kneecap any of the momentum. As we've already said, Hangman is a huge reason why they're being so successful right now. And you know, another point that we didn't bring up about why AEW is, I think, doing so much better is that it seems since they signed that TV deal that they have the full backing of Warner Brothers. You know, they had the thing with Superman, the movie that's coming out just recently. There was another one not too long ago, but it is so lame, but there feels like a synergy there with the company and Warner Brothers.
Oh God, we got Paul Levesque on this podcast now. Yeah. There's a synergy. Yeah, no, it does. And I mean, the HBO Max stuff has also been really big. Eventually, pay-per-view is going to get on there. We know it's coming. They're still working out the kinks with the technology. But I think from an exposure perspective, that's been huge. We're not privy to any of the numbers of what the HBO streams are doing. But when you see the headlines of like their TBS viewership is the best they've had in months and months and months, and none of that factors in HBO, you really know they're doing the show is being watched by over a million people every week. There's no question about it when you add in HBO. So, I mean, their viewership is way, way up. HBO has helped as well. And I'm just really excited with where this company is headed and to see if Hangman could be that guy. Mm-hmm. I will say, Justin, and I saw people talking about this group here in the chat. I wanted to bring this up. This is one of my concerns I have a little bit about AEW right now, to kind of flip in the other direction, because we're talking about possible challengers for Paige. And I'm seeing, you know, do they go right to Swerve, John said, or bring up Fletcher, MJF, one of the Hurt Syndicate people, maybe Bobby Lashley. I think that'd be cool, Hangman and Bobby Lashley. Agree. Here's one of my concerns, and I said this from the very beginning. I never liked putting MJF with that group. I didn't think it worked. I thought Hurt Syndicate was doing, they just naturally were getting over. They were like the coolest guys on the show. The crowd reacts to them. And like, they might have been presented as heels, but they were way, like the fans loved them. Yeah. And now with MJF, it just made it confusing because you're supposed to boo MJF. And I think it's been a detriment to that group. I think Hurt Syndicate has lost a ton of momentum. I wouldn't have kept MJF with him this long. They're got to do the split soon, because I think actually it's really hampering Shelton and Bobby Lashley. Your thoughts on that?
I've enjoyed it a little bit more than you. I do agree that MJF definitely steals some of the spotlight away from the Hurt Syndicate, and it does make things confusing with the heel baby face, which maybe that's what they wanted, was to kind of more solidify this group as heels rather than baby faces. You know, the crowd can still chant along with "We hurt people," even if they're bad guys. But just there seems to be a really great relationship between MJF and MVP that really comes across on screen. And that just kind of works for me. I find the fact that he wears, you know, the MVP like singlet now, the giant one piece. I get a kick out of that. I wouldn't drag it out for much longer. I kind of figured, you know, the All In match was probably going to be MJF versus Bobby Lashley, but obviously they're going in a different direction now. We'll see. It does feel like there was an uptick with the tag division there for a while when Hurt Syndicate got the titles. And now it feels like we're back into a little bit of a lull. And that could be because, you know, the focus is more on Hurt Syndicate as a group and not as the tag team champion. So I would not be shocked if Jet Speed actually wins the titles at All In. Obviously there's the patriarchy part of that too, which was just added as a third team to that match. Yeah, I mean, I like it more than you, but I definitely see your point.
Yeah, I was just such a huge fan of those guys when they're on the rise, when they are fresh, and I just feel like they don't stand out to me anymore. It's more just about MJF and they're in the background, and it'll be fine when they do the split. There are a lot of different directions they could go here. Like, they could lose a Jet Speed, like you said. MJF could cost them the tag titles, and then you get into that feud, and maybe you do Bobby and MJF in a number one contenders match, and you set up a feud for Hangman, but then where does that leave Shelton? You know, that could be a problem. God, you could put the, if you wanted to, you could keep Swerve and Ospreay together. You could give them a run with the tag titles.
There we go.
That would be fun for a little while, at least. They have a lot of interesting directions. I just don't like MJF in the group. I think it's a little confusing. I mean, like, I know why they're doing it, I guess, if they wanted to get the heel reaction for the Hurt Syndicate, but like, I don't know. And also setting up Bobby MJF, but I just felt like they would get there sooner than they are. And, you know, everybody knows MJF's going to turn on him. It's obvious, you know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's the only, like, I'm not even hugely negative on it, but just a little bit. We'll see where it goes. Just the rest of the card we can talk about here real quick, since the show is next weekend already. Timeless Tony and Mercedes, obviously everybody really looking forward to that. Do you have a feel on which direction they could go with that, with the winner?
I don't. I really don't. You know, Mercedes is still undefeated, so do they keep rolling with that for a while? But then that makes you wonder, like, well, who are the challengers? Who is the person that's going to give the rub from finally beating her? You know, I think Mercedes has done a great job of solidifying herself in AEW, making her feel like an AEW talent and not like an outsider. Tony's been there for a long time. She's the top act in the women's division. So it's a win-win, in my opinion, that either outcome is totally fine with me. Yeah, man, I don't know. Is your gut telling you something?
I think Mercedes might win, but I'm not super sure where they're going with this one at all, which it makes it a lot more appealing to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I think this was 100% the right call for this one, you know, to make this the match at All In. You know, we kind of talked about possible directions before this was the result coming out of the Owen tournament, but I think in the end, this was the marquee match. This was the right decision. You know, they do have the casino gauntlet matches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could put over Athena and then do Athena Mercedes.
Yep.
Run that back as a title program next. I could see that happening. You know, it's always tough because Tony is the best women's wrestler in the world right now, I think, just all around.
Yeah.
In ring character. But, you know, Mercedes is right there. You know, for all the concerns that people had when she came in that she was going to live up to the contract, she has made those people look like fools. And, you know, I don't think there's, obviously there's no harm in putting the title on her, and there's stuff you can do that direction as well. So I think right now Mercedes is my pick, and then doing something with Athena, but I would not be surprised either way, to be honest.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it always comes down to, as long as they got a plan for whoever's going to lose this match, then I'm okay with it, as, you know, as long as that plays out well.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm Okada Kenny running this in the U.S. This is going to be incredible. Unifying the continental and international titles into the unified championship.
IC title.
Yeah. The IC title. What do you think for this one, direction wise?
I think this one's got to be Omega, you know, kind of just like with Mercedes. Okada's been on, you know, he's had a long win streak. He feels like a truly big deal again in AEW, to the point where I don't think he'd be hurt by this loss.
Yeah.
And you just, I mean, Kenny's on fire right now. You know, he just got back from that long stretch of being away with, what was it, the diverticulitis. And you just got to keep going with him. You got to make him the big deal going forward and maybe move Okada on to other stuff like Hangman.
100% agree. Got to go with Kenny Omega here, I think.
Of all the big matches, this is the only one I feel is like a certainty of it's got to be Omega.
Yeah. Be a great, great response from the live crowd when it happens too.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like our chat is pretty much on board with Mercedes winning the women's match. Omega wins, drops it at the C2. John Hope says, we got some talk earlier on the tag team title situation. Yeah, Okada versus Paige. I think that could be a good direction too, to Tim's point. Also, the rest of the card, I mean, we talked about some of this. We talked about the tag team title just briefly here a minute ago. We talked about Swerve Ospreay and the Bucks. Yeah, the two gauntlet matches, could see a return of Darby in the men's, remains to be seen. And then, yeah, Adam Cole and Fletcher for the TNT title. Yeah, you know, I saw the, you know, Carl made this point earlier about how Cole feuded with Hangman in his original run as mm-hmm. champion. Yeah, looking back, maybe it doesn't look great, but I mean, you got to remember, Adam Cole came in with so much momentum. We were in the building, Justin. That place went freaking nuts when Adam Cole walked out at All Out 21. And I think in those first few months when he was around, man, I don't have any problem with them doing that as a title match. At, was that Revolution?
Yes.
In 22. So, you know, now he just kind of feels like just a guy. But, you know, giving him this chance to carry a title with the TNT title, see what he can do with it. Try to elevate it again.
Irregardless of how we feel about him or a lot of us feel about Adam Cole, he still gets a huge response from the crowd. You look at the pop he got in Arena Mexico. He's still a big deal, and I think this is a pretty good use of him to put over somebody like Fletcher, which I really hope happens. I think Fletcher should actually probably nuke him a little bit at All In, but. Yeah, I mean, he's lost a lot with us, but there is a wider audience that still thinks of him as a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I see Fletcher winning this one. You?
Yeah, got to. Hope it's so. It's got to be Fletcher.
Yeah.
I would squash him.
Yeah, so that's All In. We will be talking about it all next weekend, deep diving. If you're looking for us to review Saturday night's main event, I don't think that's where our focus is going to be, Justin.
You think?
We might briefly just talk about the results depending on when we do our show. We might be head to head with Saturday night's main event. I don't know. I don't know when we're going to do the review. But damn, yeah, this card is looking outstanding. Going to be a really fun show. As of right now, there's 8 matches. They'll add to that this week. But man, for those of you that are going live,
so very jealous.
Yep. Very, very jealous. Someone had asked earlier in the chat, I don't know if he's still here, I saw it, about with Petco Park Survivor Series, do you think that WWE or AEW could run Yankee Stadium? Well, I mean, they're running an MLB stadium right now, here with the Ranger Stadium. Yankee Stadium, that'd be cool as hell. Obviously, the biggest population base in the Northeast. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. You're at least 2 years out from another AEW stadium show here in the U.S. because next year they go back to Wembley for All In. So the year after that, maybe they try something like that. I said it on the show at the time when Punk was here, should have done a Wrigley Field show. It would have been so cool. Yeah. It would have sold out. Maybe, and it's still got a lot of support in Chicago. Maybe they could do that long term. But I do think running a classic baseball venue would be super cool for them. But we got to see where this momentum, you know, takes them. And if their growth happens as we see it happening here over the next several months and years.
Yeah, I mean, my dream scenario is that the momentum carries enough where they could do something huge in New Orleans for Dynasty, for what was originally supposed to be WrestleMania weekend. You know, I don't think they could pull off the Superdome, but, you know, that's the dream of dreams.
Mm-hmm. It'd still be fun, man. I think I could talk you into going to that one if they had it at the Smoothie King Center.
That would be a little bit easier than Arlington, Texas.
Yeah, right, for sure.
No offense to all of our Texas listeners.
It's just, usually the flights are fairly cheap. Like I said, I would have gone, but for some reason, weird. They've been jacked up that weekend. And if I could have got like a $150 round flight trip out of like Cedar Rapids, Iowa, I would have done it for sure. Or Des Moines, but not happening right now. Guys, before we go any further, we're going to hit some WWE stuff here in just a second. A few housekeeping items. I said it at the top, but if you're not already subscribed to us here on YouTube or your favorite podcasting platform, please make sure that you do. That helps us out a lot. Helps us in the algorithm. If you haven't clicked like on this live video yet, I put it in the chat at the very start of the show. Please click like. That also helps us. You know, the more likes the live stream has, the more it gets pushed by YouTube. And I also wanted to mention one other thing before we move on. And that is, I decided this morning, goddamn, I should have done an Independence Day sale on our store. We haven't had a sale on the Top Rope Nation merch store in quite some time. So I put up a sale. Let me share the screen. Hopefully this comes through. Yeah, there it is. I'm calling it the Independence Day Hangover Sale. 20% off everything in the Top Rope Nation store. It'll automatically appear in your cart. You can get to our store. Just go to topropenation.com and click merch, and it'll take you to the store. Easiest way to get there. We got some new merch lately, Justin. I don't know if I even showed you this. So like you can see right here, we have a, you know, it's kind of like the chest logo, kind of more subdued. Top Rope Nation Unplugged, Jesse's Patreon show. You can get that in up to like 14 different colors. Comfort Colors t-shirts, which are, I'm wearing one right now. Very comfortable. We've got the Top Rope Nation logo shirt here. It comes in like 14 different colors as well. It says $25, but that's before the 20% off. So, you know, you take another $5 off of that. And $20 for a Comfort Colors custom printed shirt is pretty darn cheap. Got a new water bottle here for the summer with the TRN logo on it. Got some long sleeves, of course, for this fall as well. I mean, there's lots of different merch items. We've talked about the rocks glass that Justin and I have. We got pint glasses, hoodies, of course. Here's some of that glassware. This, we can assure you, we use it on the show when we do evening shows all the time. These glass, they are very, very high quality. I mean, $12 for a printed rocks glass is really cheap. And then 20% off of that. So you're getting it for like 10 bucks. Justin and I have the one with the TRN logo on it, and I use it all the time. I was very impressed when that came in the mail. It's very heavy. The logo's on there really well. Good stuff. So you see all the coffee mugs, water bottle. All of this stuff supports what we're doing here on the show. Helps so that I can give Justin and Jesse a bonus on their monthly paycheck as well. So if you guys want some merch, this is a good way to support the show. I'm just scrolling through it if you're not on the video feed, but we got a lot of different designs up here. I need to do a Top Rope Nation Classics design. That's one we don't have. But yeah, there's a lot of options here. Again, topropenation.com if you want to get in on the 20% off sale. That is going to end 48 hours from now. So, God, what day is it? Is it Sunday?
Yes.
Tuesday. Tuesday at noon, that sale will end, so you can get in on that and support the pot. All right. Real quick, WWE. The first thing I wanted to bring up, Justin, was this AJ Styles situation, because the Fightful had the report this week, because we talked about this on the show, about possibly AJ coming over to AEW, rekindling some stuff with his old Bullet Club team members, perhaps doing something interesting late in his career here. What is he, 48 years old? I want to say
that sounds right.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, 48 years old. Instead, AJ has signed a 1-year extension with the WWE to take him to 49 years old with WWE. I guess, you know, he can jump in a year if he wants to. I'm happy the guy is getting paid. But, you know, as a guy, Justin, who has been a big fan of AJ Styles going back almost 25 years, loved his stuff in TNA back in the day. Not to sound negative on WWE, but this is just boring, is it not? Like, what is there for AJ Styles to do in the WWE? It's not like he wouldn't get paid well in AEW. I'm sure WWE is paying him very heavily, but this guy's made a lot of money. And just, you know, selfishly as a fan, I just think creatively it would have been so much more interesting to see him do something new. We're long past the Jake Roberts rule here with AJ Styles. You know, he came in almost 10 years ago, Rumble in 2016. Hard to believe. Wow. And he's going to stick around another year. So what do you make of this?
Must be nice to be rich. I mean, that's the only reason I can think of, because he is not in. And unlike Ryan, I am a little bit biased. To me, he hasn't done anything interesting since like 2019. Like, I would be hard pressed to think about any interesting feud. I mean, obviously he's AJ Styles, so even, you know, an average match is going to be pretty damn good. But even then, I'm having a hard time thinking of any, you know, classics that he's had in the past 6 years. And especially when compared to how amazing those first 2 years were in the company, it's just, it would have just been more interesting to see him jump. And I think about, there's guys in AEW that I would like to see jump to WWE just because it would freshen things up, make things more interesting. You know, look what jumping did for Cody. Look what jumping did for Swerve Strickland. Sometimes you just need to do something to freshen things up. You know, Ricochet is another perfect example of jumping and just trying new things. So, yeah, that's a huge snore for me, seeing him extend. I mean, again, like you said, he's got to be making great bank. You know, there's the comfort of, you know, consistency of working at the same place. You know, it's more than just money. It's all the relationships I'm sure he has there and doesn't want to leave. But as a fan, it's just boring.
Yeah, one of the big positives AEW used to have over WWE is they didn't really run house shows. They did a few of them, but they don't do it at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And you get that lighter schedule. Now WWE has pretty much dropped house shows. They do them occasionally, but their schedule's not as grueling as it used to be. So yeah, you understand the factor of like the familiarity and just being comfortable there for sure. But yeah, I agree. Outside of the Cody match, he did it like Clash at the Castle, and they just hotshotted that. Like, he just became a challenger out of nowhere. He hasn't really had the memorable feuds or anything like that. He's just kind of a guy there that he's reliable. He'll have good matches. I just, you know, selfishly as a fan, like to see him do something more interesting. But, you know, we say the same thing the other direction too. We talk about people that should jump to AEW, but we also have talked about people who should jump to WWE. I know we said Jade for a long time would be much better in the WWE system. She's gotten a little better.
That worked out.
But you know, we talked about people, you know, jumping the other direction as well, and how that could help them. So, I mean, it goes both ways. It's just, and we'll probably be saying this in like 2 to 3 years if we're still doing this show, that, you know, there's people that have been in AEW now for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. Maybe time to move over the other direction. It's just WWE has been the consistent company for years, and there's people that have been there a decade who have a history with some of the people that founded AEW, and they, you know, they could do some interesting things. So
I mean, history, yeah,
Wardlow,
has shown,
Carl, to your point, Wardlow is a guy who has WWE written all over him. We've talked about that before too.
History has shown that wrestling is at its most fun when there's two viable large companies, if only to have guys jump around, to move around, to have the big debuts out of nowhere, and just, it brings so much more exciting, regardless of what side of the fence you fall on.
Yeah, it just makes the business way more interesting. I mean, when we started this show in 2016, there was one company. We would occasionally talk about New Japan back then, but it was mostly all WWE. Little ROH here and there when, you know, the Bullet Club was rising, but it's way better now to have two national companies to go back and forth on. So let's talk about what one of those companies is doing next weekend. They are doing NXT Great American Bash head to head with All In. Look, man.
Wait, when is Evolution? I thought Evolution was that day too.
That's Sunday.
Oh, that's Sunday. Next day. Okay. Yeah.
So the Great American Bash NXT show does go head to head with All In during the afternoon.
Guess what? I'm not going to be watching.
Look, if you're going to watch that over All In, more power to you. But I can't imagine. I can't imagine tuning in for that show. But that night, they do have Saturday night's main event. I'll just hit the card real quick. These are the three matches. Orton versus Drew McIntyre. Set this up over TV this week. LA Knight versus Seth Rollins. Set that up this week on TV. And then a couple of weeks ago, as we know, Gunther against Bill Goldberg. Oh boy, Justin. Bill Goldberg wins the world heavyweight title just hours after Hangman. I mean, you look at those moves side by side. Which wrestling promotion do you want to watch? I mean, I feel like the only reason to put on Goldberg would be to do like a quick title change and Seth cashes in or something. I just cannot imagine them giving Goldberg a run. That would be horrendous booking. The way Paul Levesque's booking has been the last few weeks or a few months, I guess I can't put it past him, but my God, please do not do this. It didn't need the title. So the fact
that's
that
the weirdest part.
Yeah, that's what gets me nervous. because maybe they feel like an NBC show needs a title match. I don't know, but like, you know, when they did the match with him and Jay, we talked about it at the time. Have Seth cash in, do the title change on Raw that week. They didn't do it. Instead, Gunther wins the title back clean, and here we are. I'm a little worried, but like, I hope Gunther wins.
That would be such a shitty thing to do to Gunther too. Just to have him drop the title to Goldberg only for like Rollins to cash in. Like, what's the point of that? That's so lame. Gunther is doing tremendous work right now. He's been one of the few things I actually really enjoy watching on WWE television. So to do that to him would be really shitty, especially for a guy who's like, would that be Goldberg's last match, is to have him beat one of your world champions and then just drop the title to, you know, Money in the Bank cash in? That's lame.
Yeah, it's real lame. So I sure hope not. I hope it's brief. You know, if you look at Goldberg's last several matches, I've run down this on, I think, the extra shows, and I know Jesse's talked about it on Unplugged too, but mostly he's not had good outings. So yeah. You need to keep this brief. Smoking.
He's been losing in all of his matches in the last couple times he's returned.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up his matches again because I've blocked some of this from my memory. He beat Bobby Lashley at Crown Jewel 21. So that was his second to last match. But then he lost to Roman at Elimination Chamber in 22. That was his last match he had. It was a 6-minute match. He lost to Lashley before that at SummerSlam 21. He lost to McIntyre before that. He lost to Braun Strowman before that. Then he did beat The Fiend for the title at Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia.
All-time bad fucking match.
Yeah, in 2020. That match is horrendous. What is the score for that one on Cage Match? I am curious. 0.24 out of 10.
I almost said it's going to be too high no matter what you say, but never mind. I think that's about right.
That's adequate. That is a good rating. Objective rating for that match. Yeah, I mean, I think his highest rated match out of the last several was the one where he beat Lashley and it was a Falls Count Anywhere match. Dave went 3¾ on that one. But other than that, they've pretty much all been bad. The one with Roman was real short, like a 6-minute match. What was the score on that one? 3.42 out of 10 on Cage Match. Dave gave it 2 stars. That was his last match. So, that's a 6-minute match. You can't go much longer than that.
No,
you just can't. So there's no reason to do any title change here. It wouldn't make any sense. So I sure hope not. Give him his sayonara here in Atlanta and be done with it.
Yep.
So that's on Saturday night. That will be after All In ends, because All In starts during the early afternoon. This will be evening time. So if you want to go from watching All In to this, that's your bag. There you go. I will watch it at some point for sure. Maybe that night. We'll see. But then the next day, they have Evolution 2 in Atlanta. And man, the scheduling for this show, Justin. They're running this at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta. And just down the way, at the home of the Atlanta Falcons, at the very same time as a Beyonce concert. And they are having a hard time moving tickets for this show. They got 6 matches announced. They are doing Jade Cargill and Naomi in a no-holds-barred match. They just set this one up on SmackDown. It was taped Monday, but aired Friday night. Tiffany Stratton against Trish Stratus. Basically, they've done this thing where the champions get to choose who they are challenging. Or who is challenging them, I should say. So Tiffany is taking on a returning Trish Stratus. And then Io Sky is taking on Rhea Ripley, which should be an awesome match. They've got Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez defending the women's tag titles against the new team of Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair, and 2 other teams that have not yet been determined. They got JC Jane defending the NXT women's title against Jordan Grace. Should be a good match. And they got a battle royal for a women's title match at Clash in Paris coming up. They have not announced the participants for that. I mean, that's going to be the match where everyone gets thrown in that doesn't have a spot on the card. So, I mean, like, the card's decent. I'll watch the show. It just sucks that, like, you know, I could see some of the people who are in charge in WWE saying, oh boy, you know, the tickets move pretty slow for that show. Not sure we can do another all women's pay-per-view event, despite the fact that they went head to head with like one of the biggest touring acts in the world in the same town on the same night. Justin.
It's a shame. I mean, they're in a bit of a death spot. If you're thinking about this, like a wrestling card, the three big shows on Saturday, Beyonce on Sunday. It's been so long since they've done this show. And it was so cool when they did it originally, given the ladies, you know, their own giant spotlight. And it's just such a disservice to them. You know, I know they're just trying to stick it to AEW, and that's lame. They shouldn't even be thinking about AEW, but just such a disservice to these ladies to put them in this spot where I don't like it at all.
There is no Beyonce concert Saturday night, where Saturday night's main event is airing. That night she's off, but yeah, she's at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday. Four shows in Atlanta.
Cowboy Carter.
Yeah. And to Carl's point, you're right. I forgot to read that one off, but they also have a triple threat for the women's IC title with Becky defending against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. So those are your seven matches for Evolution as of right now. We'll talk about it on the show. I know Jesse will watch it for sure too. And we'll cover that either probably like several days after. Maybe we'll hit on, I'm sure he'll hit it on Unplugged that week, and then we'll probably hit on it in 2 weeks here on the flagship. So, because by the time that show happens, we will have done our all-in review either Saturday night or Sunday morning. So it'll be too late to cover that one. So yeah, I think I've hit everything I wanted to cover. Justin, do you have anything?
No, I think that covers it all.
Yeah. So, hey, it's been 2 weeks. I was definitely looking forward to getting on here with you. Looking forward to doing the Beach Blast show Tuesday night for our patrons with both of you guys as well. Should be a good time. Appreciate everybody that tuned in live here. Gave you a little WWE, a little AEW, and next weekend, a huge one for pro wrestling. And we'll be covering it all with you guys. Appreciate you all. Justin, any parting comments?
Hope everybody had a fun and safe Independence Day weekend.
Yes, absolutely. I did a lot of grilling, as I know Justin did as well.
Oh, yeah. Same, sir. Same.
Yeah. All right, guys. This has been episode 388 of Top Rope Nation. We will be talking to you all again real soon. Take care, everybody. Enjoy your week.
Peace.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.